This is News Talk.
Well, another day where indoor dining is back on the front pages. The Irish Examiner says that the Cabinet is split on a date for the return of indoor dining, as vaccine passes have emerged as the only viable option for the sector. So what we have now is that the government deciding on Tuesday on the path to reopening pubs and restaurants, but the Examiner says that Taoiseach Leo Varadkar is suggesting that reopening should happen on July 19th, but the Taoiseach Micheál Martin is said to favour reopening a week later. One would assume because it would buy more time, obviously, to sort out the legislation on this, but also more people would be vaccinated in a week. So maybe that's the reason why. But Leo Varadkar has said that the reopening of indoor dining would happen in advance of the August bank holiday weekend. And speaking to the Irish Examiner, he said while he could not guarantee a return on July 19th, he recognised the need to reopen as soon as possible. But privately, it seems that he wants it on the 19th of July and the Taoiseach wants it a week later, if you're to believe the Examiner this morning. The Irish Daily Mail, new law on dining can't be delayed. This is the call from hospitality chiefs who say that the government needs to urgently pass new legislation to reopen indoor dining before the dole breaks for the summer, and the Licensed Vintners Association saying that huge political will is now required to achieve a July 19th reopening. The Irish Independent talks about what happens if you go to a restaurant or a pub and you're not vaccinated and they turn you away. What's the legal situation there? Well, the Independent says that restaurants and pubs are going to have protection against legal action for refusing indoor dining to people. Three hospitality sources who were involved in yesterday's negotiations with the government said restaurants and pubs will be protected under discrimination and GDPR laws and against falsified certs. So a lot of protection needed for the hospitality sector, because you could imagine some people would be pretty quick to take a case on discrimination grounds if they're turned away from going inside for a meal. So there will be some protection for the pubs and restaurants. The Irish Independent also says that there's been a huge surge of A&E patients in hospitals. Hospitals are experiencing winter level surges of patients in emergency departments. Nothing to do with COVID. But now they're bracing themselves for a wave of Delta variant cases too. HSE Chief Operations Officer Anne O'Connor saying some hospitals have seen a large number of people attending in the last week with illnesses that are not COVID related. And she said hospitals in Mayo, Galway, Tala and Mullingar have been under particular strain, which is quite unusual for the middle of the summer when hospitals tend to be quieter. Although there's a lot of people who've put off going to hospital over the past year and a half because of COVID, who maybe now feel more encouraged going into A&E. But obviously they're worried then if there was to be an increase in hospitalizations because of the Delta variant, would they have the capacity to cope? And final COVID story comes from the Irish Times this morning, and this is pretty predictable, I think. The spread of COVID Delta variant is causing growing concern in government, with fears of a spillover of infections from the United Kingdom. Is that not what we've all been worried about, is that as the UK begins to really open up, does the Delta variant that's prevalent there start to spread more here? Well, Taoiseach Micheál Martin and HSE Chief Executive Paul Reid highlighted the highly transmissible mutation, and they urge the public to be cautious as a fourth wave of COVID-19 infection looms. I suppose a timely reminder, but I'm sure people would be aware of that. The other big story on the front of the Irish Times is that fire safety defects, estimated to cost more than €5 million to fix, have been discovered at a large Celtic Tiger era apartment complex in West Dublin. In Dublin 12, it comprises of 10 blocks of 257 apartments, and it was built by a third party contractor in 2003. The property company employs more than 1,500 people, and the 1, 2 and 3 bed flats are part of the larger Park West group of apartment blocks. But anyway, basically they've found fire safety defects there, and to fix them it could cost €5 million. The Irish Times has done a big investigation into that if you want to read more about it. A number of the papers go on their front page with the crash, which we learned about around this time yesterday, where three people were killed on the N7. The Irish Sun, three killed in fireball horror, and they have some photographs of the three who've been named locally. The Irish Daily Star, 3 dead in crash fireball, and the Irish Daily Mirror, gang killed in fireball horror, 3 die in smash with lorry on wrong side of road after Garda chase. So obviously there's a big GSOC investigation into that. Now, the Irish Times has the report this morning that a fifth of new recruits to the public service will have to be proficient in Irish by 2030. Minister Jack Chambers will be on News Talk Breakfast about this. It's a very interesting move because for a long time, particularly Gaelgors, have been quite frustrated that state bodies, some of them, don't use our national language, the Irish language, and it has been a huge source of frustration. So now some of the employees, 20% of them, will have to be proficient in Irish. And basically when they're advertising things, you're going to have to use it on Irish language mediums as well. A minimum of 5% of adverts by public bodies must be in Irish. And I know that the fada, or the lack of a fada, among some state systems has really upset people. So there's going to be a big concentration on the fada, because without a fada, some words can mean very, very different things in the Irish language. Now, interesting story in the Mail this morning that hairdressers and beauticians across the country are going to be trained to spot the signs of domestic abuse in customers. The training is part of a scheme called Sheer Haven. It was first launched by a US salon owner called Susanna Post, and staff will be tested after completing several online courses, and they'll get a cert to show they're qualified to spot the signs. And that's so interesting because, as we know, so many people open up to their hairdresser where they tell them their deepest, darkest secrets, where you may not tell a family member or a friend, but you might tell the hairdresser or the beautician. And obviously now, if they're going to be trained in spotting the signs of domestic violence, it could be a huge level of support for survivors. So interesting to see that one being rolled out. Obviously the Euros across the British papers this morning, and it's fair to say as well, some of the Irish media too, a lot of coverage given now that England have qualified for the final. But the Times of London talks this morning on its front page about a potential bank holiday there if England win, and Boris Johnson is considering giving England a bank holiday if they win on Sunday, and they're looking at July 19th as one date under discussion. Now, there were calls that the bank holiday would be this coming Monday after the Euros on Sunday, but government sources in the UK say it would be extremely difficult to arrange a bank holiday for this Monday, so instead they're looking at July 19th. The reason why they're looking at this: close to 300,000 people have signed a petition calling for a bank holiday on the 12th of July. Instead, what Boris Johnson is saying is employers should be encouraged to give staff the day off on Monday. Now, hard to organise, because if you look there, if we had have gone to penalties the other night, it probably would have been around 11 o'clock before the match would be over. So then you're talking about match finishes 11 o'clock Sunday night. Do employers then start contacting their staff and saying, do you know what, don't bother coming in tomorrow, enjoy yourselves? So potentially in England, if they win, of course, big question mark over that, they could be off on Monday and then have a bank holiday the following Monday. We shall see. There's a lot of things have to happen before that happens. Actually, staying with the Euros, the Telegraph has a very interesting story, and it's the worst nightmare for people who go, they ring in sick, and then they go off to a big event. The worst nightmare is that you're caught on camera. But this happened to Nina Faruqi, who was euphoric when Harry Kane scored England's winner. But she stood behind the goal at Wembley. She was jumping up and down, arms around her friend and an England flag wrapped around her shoulders. But less than 12 hours later, she was sacked for attending the game because her boss has seen her on camera and said, hold on, you took the day off. And actually, you said you were sick and you went to the match and now you are fired. But she says she's mixed emotions because obviously England won, but then she lost her job. I know which one I'd be more upset about. But anyway, final story comes from the Irish Daily Mail, and this answers an age-old question that many of us have lost a night's sleep over, which is, how do you eat a chocolate digestive? It seems there's a right way and a wrong way, according to the Mail. If you enjoy a chocolate digestive with the chocolate-coated side facing upwards, you are wrong. you're making a big mistake. Now, this is me, I do this. This is according to Oxford University, if you don't mind, because they say that by all means, bring the digestive up to the mouth with the chocolate on the top, because this creates visual anticipation of the taste to follow. But before the first bite, you should then flip the chocolate side downwards. That's because most taste buds are on the surface of the tongue, so the full taste can be picked up by the direct contact with the chocolate. I'm going to have to try this out this evening because I don't really understand it. But anyway, if Oxford says it, we will believe them.
On 106 to 108 FM and at newstalk.com, this is Newstalk.